Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
I want to make a confession real quickly before we get into this series on fan or follower. I just want to confess to you right now my own lack, my own issue. I have become an extreme fair weather fan. I just am. Something's wrong with me. Y'all pray for me. I am a fair weather fan. I mean, I was looking at ESPN Friday night, and I saw that my team, you know, Arkansas State and Jonesboro, ASU, was playing the University of Alabama yesterday. And I clicked on ESPN.com Friday night, and ESPN told me that ASU had a 1.3% chance of winning that game yesterday. So guess what? I watched like 1.3 minutes of it and figured out I think they're right. And I didn't watch another bit of it. I'm just a fair weather fan. Are there any other fair weather fans in the room? Some of you, but the most of you, you're like at least lying to me and saying you are diehard fans, right? You watch the whole game. Rain or shine, you're staying in your seat. Snow or ice, you're not leaving the game. Ahead or behind, you're, wow, y'all are awesome. Well, here's the good news and here's the bad news. Jesus is not looking for fans at all. We're in this series, Fan or Follower. And I want to just tell you this morning, I want to break the ice with you this morning. Jesus is not looking for more fans. He's looking for followers of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, one of the things we're trying to do here at the assembly is to develop lifelong followers of Jesus. That's what we say to our students and to our kids almost every single week. We know that Jesus is looking for followers and not just fan. And we look at our text, Luke chapter 9, verse number 57. We're going to see three men who came to Jesus who said they wanted to follow him. But when you look closely, I'm not really sure they were followers of Jesus at all. I think perhaps they were just fans of Jesus. Let's read their story in Luke chapter 9, verse number 57. As they're walking along the road, meaning Jesus and his disciples, a man came to him and said, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But that man replied, "Lord, first let me go bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." And Jesus said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Father, we love you. I thank you for every man and woman that's in the room today. God, I pray that you would help all of us and each of us individually to follow you. Lord, we don't want to just be around the things of God. We want to be followers of God. We don't want to settle to be like a fan that can name the facts about you. We want to be like the disciples who followed you. So speak to my heart this morning how we can better follow you. Speak to the hearts of this people. Speak to all of us together today that we can follow you in a greater way than ever before. So Lord, anoint me to speak what you want me to speak. Lord, open our ears and our hearts and our mind to hear what you want us to say. And all the people in the room said amen. At this particular point of Jesus' ministry, His crowd, his following, not necessarily followers, but his following, his fan base, if you will, the crowd of people following Jesus is growing every single day. If you were looking in at Jesus, you might think, boy, if he will just play his cards right, he might really develop something. He may really become the king of the world. He may really find himself in political power if he will just say the right things, especially what people want to hear. If he'll just do that, then he is headed for a great amount of success. But how many of you have ever noticed when you read the Bible that Jesus was never, he never measured his success by the number of people who were in the crowd? He always measured success by those who heard what he said and then followed him. Right? That's why it wasn't, he didn't get bothered when people walked away from him later on, because he wasn't really counting the crowd in the first place. He was just paying attention to those who had committed their lives to follow him. This morning, I read the scripture. I read about these three guys who said, "Lord, we want to follow you," but then they don't. And I ask the question, I've been asking, allowing the Holy Spirit to ask me this question: what kept them from following Jesus? And is it possible that there's something that kept them from following Jesus that is still keeping us today from following Jesus? And there's three things, I believe, if we're going to be followers and not fans. If we're going to, and that's today's message, is to go beyond a fan and become a follower. That's the message today. There's three things that each of these individuals can teach us this morning, how we can continue to grow past just being a fan of God, knowing about God, to actually being a follower of God. And the first person, what he teaches us is, if we're going to move beyond just being a fan of God, we've got to learn to follow Jesus beyond our comfort. Now, how many in this room like being comfortable? What's wrong with the rest of you? You like discomfort? You know, I will choose my restaurant based on the chairs in that place. Anybody else? You ever pick out your restaurant just based on the chairs? I mean, I walk into a place and there's not a padded booth available, I'm almost ready to go somewhere else. I mean, I love comfort. And this guy says, "I want to follow Jesus." And Brother John, he uses this really big word. He says, "I'll follow you wherever." That's a pretty open word, isn't it? "I'll follow you wherever you go, Jesus, wherever you go. That's where I'll follow you." That is a huge commitment. And Jesus says, wait. "I know you say you'll follow me wherever, but just listen. Birds have nests to sleep in. Foxes have holes that they can run to, but those who follow me, matter of fact, myself," he said, "I don't have anywhere to lay my head." That doesn't sound comfortable, does it? I mean, Jesus is telling him, if you follow me, we may not stay at the Hilton. We may not eat at the nicest restaurants, and we may not socialize with the upper crust of society. If you're going to follow me, Jesus is saying, you've got to be willing to follow me beyond your comfort. And how many know that following Jesus often takes us past our comfort? You know, if you're going to follow Jesus, he'll talk to you about speaking to people you'd rather not speak to, and that's uncomfortable. He'll speak to you about going places you've never been before. When I say that, I don't mean geographically necessarily as much as I mean he may call you to go down, you know, two cubicles down and encourage someone. He may cause you to go somewhere in hell and lay some things aside that that are comfortable to you. Following Jesus, if we're going to follow him, he always calls us beyond our place of comfort. One person said it like this. They said, "We will either live our life by our convictions, or we'll live our lives by our comfort." And you can have comfort and convictions at the same time for a while. But at some point in your life, your comfort and convictions are going to be at odds. At some point in your life, you're going to hear what God tells you to do, and it's going to require you to leave your comfort. In that moment, that's when you get to decide, am I just being a fan of God? Do I just like to hear what Jesus says? Or am I really following him to where what he says is what I'm going to do, no matter how it feels? Amen? Are we fans of Jesus? Or are we followers of Jesus? Fans always show up when it's comfortable, but followers stay even when it's hard because they have a conviction about it. I think it was Billy Graham who made this statement: I fear we have evangelized the world too lightly. What did he say when he meant that? What he meant was that Jesus was never afraid to tell people, if you're going to follow me, it might be uncomfortable. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus said it this way, whoever does not carry his cross cannot be my disciple. Which of you who wants to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost to see if he has enough resources to complete it? Otherwise, if he lays the foundation and is unable to finish the work, everyone who sees him will ridicule him. What is Jesus saying? He's saying to count the cost, to understand following me, it might be uncomfortable. So decide today, is following me worth the cost? And truly today, there's a lot of people that when it comes to following Jesus, they like the idea. They're a fan of the theology. They're a fan of certain parts of Christianity. They're a fan of certain parts of Jesus' message. But Jesus was never looking for someone to be a fan of his teaching. He was looking for someone who would follow him. Because friends, as we follow him, do you remember what Jesus said to the first disciples who followed him? He said, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Here's why it's so important that we be a follower, not a fan. If we're a fan of Jesus, we'll learn things about him. But if we're a follower of Jesus, we'll become like him. What's the purpose of our life? Is it to become like Jesus or just learn things about him? And for far too long, there's been way too many believers who have just settled for knowing about him instead of becoming like him. And so I'm praying that during this series, the next few weeks, that Lord, would you help us become followers of you so we can become like you? Our world doesn't need to see another knowledgeable person about the things of God. They need someone who's being transformed to become like God. Amen? The world needs to see followers. But following may take us beyond our comfort. There's a gentleman whose story I've read recently, and I'm not really into running. I did for junior high and high school a little bit, but I got a car and stopped. there's a guy whose name is Dean Karnazes, and I might be mispronouncing his name. He's known as the ultra marathon man. This guy is so much into running marathons that once upon a time he ran 50 marathons in 50 days in 50 different states straight. Another time he ran 350 miles in 3 days without eating or without stopping to eat or sleep. That's pretty tough, isn't it? He's run marathons in Antarctica. He's ran them everywhere. And here's part of his story. Here's a quote he said. And he's talking about comfort. He says, Western culture has things a little backwards. We think that if we had every comfort available to us, we'd be happy. We equate comfort with happiness. And now we're so comfortable, we're miserable. There's no struggle in our lives, no sense of adventure. We get in a car, we get in an elevator, and it all comes easy. He goes on to write, is what I've found is I'm never more alive than when I'm pushing through pain and when I'm struggling for high achievement. Now, I don't know if this guy's a believer or not. But I read this story, and I see a guy who's willing to push through pain, push through struggle, push through injury, push through, bottom line, his comfort, to win a prize that is going to fade, to be a name that will be forgotten. When we learned last week in 2 Timothy that each of us, like Paul, we're running for a crown that will never fade. We're running for a prize that cannot be lost. We're running for a God and a Savior who will never forget our name or what we've done for him. Shouldn't all of us be willing to embrace a little bit of discomfort to follow Jesus? Amen? Following Jesus means we follow beyond what is just comfortable. Romans 8, Paul said these words. He said, I consider that our present sufferings aren't even worth comparing to what glory we shall receive when we see him. In other words, Paul was saying the pain is worth the gain. Don't let your comfort, here's the bottom line on point one, don't let your comfort keep you from following Jesus. Amen? Here's point number two. Follow beyond your love for other things. Another man, actually Jesus said, the first man came to Jesus and said, let me follow you. The second man, Jesus looked at him specifically and said, follow me. Now, to me, that's a little bit even more pointed, right? The first guy approached Jesus. Now, Jesus approaches you. He approaches me. He's approaching us today. And Jesus says, follow me. He gave an invitation to be, you know, one of the disciples that walked with him every single day. Jesus personally asked this man to follow me. Can I tell you, if you could get a direct line on your phone this morning to the heart of God, I can tell you with all the conviction I can muster this morning, I believe what the heartbeat of God is saying to you and I this morning is this: follow me. Follow me. Now that looks different for all of us. We're in different stages of life. You know, I remember surrendering to following Jesus as a teenager, and some of those convictions he spoke to me about following him they're still here now, but some of the ways I'll walk that out is a little bit different. But it's still the same heartbeat. It's still, follow me is the heartbeat of God. And he's saying, follow me beyond your love for other things. And this man, Jesus said, follow me. And the man said, well, Lord, first, let me go bury my father. Now, on the surface, it could seem like Jesus is being unreasonable. I mean, I need to go home and conduct a funeral real quick. That sounds like a pretty good, you know, excused absence, right? I mean, even your professors in college will let you go home and miss class for a funeral, most of them. Sounds like a good excuse to not follow Jesus right then. But Jesus perceived something. He realized that this guy is not just saying no because he's got other obligations. He's saying no because it's a love issue with him. Matter of fact, you could look at that. I know that sounds really harsh that Jesus wouldn't let this guy go home to his dad's funeral. There's actually a lot of evidence that proves one of two things. Number one, in biblical times, one of the greatest dishonors you could do a family member, or one of the greatest honors you could do a family member, is to bury them when they pass. And so that was a great obligation, especially if you were the firstborn son. You are obligated to take care of this business for your folks. The second half of that story is that most scholars believe is that when this son says, first I need to go home and bury my father, his dad's not even dead yet. He's just saying, but he is saying, I got this obligation. And here's what Jesus is saying. Understand that your obligation to follow me is greater than any other obligation you have on planet Earth. There's another young man that struggled with loving God as much as he loved other things, and we don't even know his name. There's been speculations, and I won't go into that, but there's another guy. Most of us know him as the rich young ruler. Right? He came to Jesus sort of on the same premise as these same conversations. He came to Jesus and, Lord, I want to be perfect before you. And after several tests, Jesus finally says, well, if you really want to be perfect, sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. And the Bible says this young man went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. Can I tell you, the problem wasn't how much he had. The problem was how much he loved what he had. And this is where this teaching gets challenging. Because some of us, we think about the rich young ruler, and we thought, well, sometimes we think, boy, those rich people better look out. Right? That doesn't work for a couple of reasons. Number one, because in the state of the world, all of us in this room, the poorest among us in this room are considered super wealthy by the world standards. You understand that? All of us in this room are in the top 5% of wage earners on the globe. But beyond that, it's not a matter of how much we have. This is not really a how much do you have scenario. It's about what do you love the most scenario. And see, those with very little can love their little so much that they're unwilling to submit their life to Christ. The flip side of that is those who have very much sometimes are great followers of Christ because what they're in love with is not what they've had. They're in love with the one who gave it to them. They're in love with our Father. We've just got to make sure that what we're loving is our Father and not that we're loving the one who gave us the things and not the things themselves. You know, there's Peter asked the question. He was concerned. He said, Lord, look at us. I think it's in Luke 14. He said, Lord, look at us. We've left everything to follow you. And that's true. I mean, they left their fathers. They left their businesses. They left everything to follow Jesus. And yet Jesus said these words. He says, not one of you have left your houses, your mothers, your fathers, your sisters, your brothers, that in this life will not fail to receive multitudes times over what you've given. What's Jesus saying? He's saying that it's impossible to outgive me. It's impossible to lose when you trust God. But the enemy will test us so often by getting us to simply be a fan instead of a follower by loving something more than we love Jesus. Right? Can I tell you, the enemy doesn't matter. He doesn't care if you love Jesus. Some of you aren't receiving that. Some of you are like, wait. You mean the devil doesn't mind if I love Jesus? The devil does not mind at all if you are head over heels in love with Jesus. Just so you love something else more than you love him. Because the moment you love something more than you love him, you've just moved from being a follower to being a fan. And it's in our following him that we become like him. Here's the third thing this morning. Is you got to follow Jesus, not just beyond your comfort, beyond the things that you have, but you got to love Jesus beyond your past. Still another said, Lord, I'll love you, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. There's two problems with that statement. Number one, same issue. There was something else first. Lord, I'll follow you, but first. As long as Jesus isn't first, we're not following him. And Jesus responded, that anyone who puts their hand in the plow and looks back isn't fit for the kingdom. Now, I don't know if there's any farmers in the room, but I just know enough to know this. If you want to plow something straight, you keep your row straight by looking ahead and not looking behind. Most of you drove to church this morning, and you were trying your best to keep your car between the mayonnaise and the mustard. Right? You following that? Between the white line and the yellow line. So I had to speak that out. First service got that, by the way. All right, you're trying to keep it on the mayonnaise and the mustard. You're trying to keep it in your lane. And you didn't drive to church this morning, I hope. You didn't drive to church this morning by looking in your rearview mirror, trying to see if you're staying between the white line and the yellow line, did you? No. You did it looking ahead. And that's how we follow Jesus. As we follow Jesus looking ahead, you don't look backwards, you look ahead. And all of us in this room, no matter how glorious or how destructive your past may be, the enemy will always try to move you from the category of a follower into the category of a fan by trying to get you to go backwards instead of forward. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we just finished our series on Timothy last week, but there's one verse I didn't read to you. I'll read it to you now. There's this guy that we don't know a whole lot about, but we're introduced to him, and we remember him by this. His name is Demas. And Paul says, Demas has forsaken us because he loved the world. Think about that. A man who once followed Jesus is now not to be found at all around the things of God. And what separated him from being a follower of Jesus? Paul said it was the love of the world. It was the love of something else. When we look backwards, we're always losing. That's why Paul said in Philippians that I make every effort I can to forget what's behind and I strain towards what's ahead. Listen, the enemy will be satisfied. Megan, if you want to come. The enemy will be satisfied completely. If I or you, the enemy will be completely satisfied if we will just move from being a follower of Jesus to being a fan of Jesus. Pastor, why would you say that? Because if you're just a fan of Jesus, the enemy won't have to worry about trying to separate you from the life that God has for you. You'll separate yourself. Look at this. Look at these three men. All of them came and said, I want to follow Jesus. And yet none of them did. And none of that walking away, none of that turning their back on Jesus, none of that was caused by some supernatural warfare going on that we can see. None of it is because there's a group of people that said, you know, you do that, we're going to persecute you. There was no outside force. But they just separated themselves. That's why this series is so important. That's why you and I must be committed followers of Jesus and not just fans of the things of God. Because it's in the following that He transforms us. And it's in the arena of just being a fan that the enemy so easily entangles us and separates us from being and becoming what God wants us to be and what He wants us to become. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning as we get ready to pray. I want to ask you two questions. Here's the first question. First question is very simple. Have you decided to be a follower of Jesus? Have you ever decided that, you know, I'm going to follow Christ? Is it going to be comfortable? Probably not. Is it going to cost you something? Probably so. Is it going to transform your life from what used to be into something that is completely brand new? Absolutely. But the transformation comes not as we hang around the things of God. It doesn't come as we hang around Jesus. Transformation comes as we follow Jesus. Perhaps you're sitting in the room today and you've been in church your whole life, but you've just been hanging around the things of Jesus and you never really became a follower. But today you say, Pastor, I want Jesus to transform my life. This is how He transforms us, as we follow Him. Jesus told the disciples on the shore that day, told Peter, James, and John, come and follow me and I will make you. I will transform you into fishers of men. And that same opportunity is for you and for me today. If we will choose to follow Him, He will transform us. And today you say, Pastor, I'm not following Jesus, but I need to decide today to follow Him. Pray for me as I make that commitment. Would you just lift a hand real quick? Bless me, Pastor. Pray for me this morning. Amen. Amen. Secondly, this morning, I want to ask us all, and this is, I really want to speak to all of us in this room. You consider yourself a believer. Perhaps you've been serving God for a year, 5 years, or 10 years. You say, Pastor, I'm serious about this. But I want to ask you, have you settled? It is such a subtle step from following and just being a fan. I want to ask you, have you settled for being a fan instead of a follower? Don't be like Demas. If you don't remember anything you learned today, just remember Demas. He was the guy who loved the world to the point that he eroded his relationship and the plan that God had for him. Have you settled for being a fan instead of a follower? I want to challenge you. Let's keep our focus forward. Let's embrace hardship, as Paul told Timothy, like a good soldier, if that's what it takes to follow Jesus. because it's in following Him that we become like Him.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.